Hello, Gallatin Valley and online listeners. You are listening to KGVM, Bozeman Community Radio, broadcasting at 95.9 FM and streaming at kgvm.org. I'm Roxana, and this is Desert Oracle Radio Replay. Happy Christmas Eve and happy Christmas Day, whatever you're celebrating.
Bye.
That was my little granddaughter, Gemma. Wishing you the best. We have a double feature for you today. The first episode is called Gadzooks. It's solstice time in the desert, and it was produced by Ken Lane on December 22nd, 2023. So it is just a fresh episode. Enjoy.
Transmitting from the Mojave Wilderness in Joshua Tree, California, now is the time for Desert Oracle Radio, the voice of the desert.
Whatever's coming in 2024, good Lord, you know it's coming. I think it's all right. I think it'll be all right, you know? But time to look over those backup plans, that's for sure. Mark Zuckerberg is doing that right now with this bunker he's building in Hawaii. Not the first dangerous oligarch to do such a thing, and not at all without reason. Because it is getting tense right about now all around the world, not the time to be ineffectually posing as Mr. Everyman. Not a useful time to be using the word normalize, I'm hearing through the underground channels from the backstreet etymologists, the local linguists. If you're complaining about something being normalized because it's already in common usage and living practice, well, that's like complaining about the kids these days. Old man yells at cloud, etc. Buck up. Life will baffle you in later years. This is the truth for most of us. Avoiding such pitfalls is the road to wisdom, experts say. A lot of people visiting for the holidays. Not as many as last year, not nearly as many as 2 or 3 years ago, but there are some, and sometimes people ask me, what's it like living in the beautiful high desert town of Swine Valley, or whatever it's called around here? And I'm just about to go into the whole thing about how I'm supposed to be the ranger at the sacred grove of Santa Minerva, 100 miles from nowhere, but circumstances have temporarily conspired and etc. But instead I just say, as soon as there's an opening, oh, it's just fine, I suppose. Well, then I go out back to see if anything interesting might be going on. But that's no way to start the Christmas radio show, for goodness sake. Goodness sake is one of those goofy euphemisms, or what is called a minced oath. Minced oath. Minced oath. Sounds like a dessert. A dessert from a Charles Dickens book. But a minced oath is like Jiminy Christmas or Gadzooks. Now, Gadzooks is a euphemism for God's hooks. Well, that comes from the 1690s. God's hooks. That's terrible. And also wrong.
For Christmas time.
And also, don't think too hard about the word excruciating. Speaking of a long popular method of Roman execution. Oh no, I'm looking at the pages I typed yesterday and the day before, supposedly for this show, and it's a bunch of madness about the 3-century-long Puritan Protestant effort to cancel Christmas. The War on Christmas, they called it. But the War on Christmas was finally defeated by capitalism at the business end of the 1800s. And it's too late to prepare another show because here we are on the radio. Night has fallen on the desert. Our first big winter storms are soaking the mountains and the coastlines and the valleys, and now we're getting it pretty good in the southwestern deserts. Somewhere, maybe, out of my range, there may be a dusting of snow on the Joshua trees and the yuccas and the junipers at the higher elevations, but a wet winter is visiting most of the American high desert this week. This week of the winter solstice. Which means, that's right, Happy New Year. If you can allow yourself belief in the new year. The solstice is not only the end of the solar year, goodbye 2023 and good riddance, etc., but it also used to be New Year's. Yes, until big government started moving the calendar around all the time, winter solstice was the New Year's Eve celebration and often the New Year's Day celebration, too. As was true in the Mediterranean classical world of 2,500 years ago, in ancient Greece and the neighboring civilizations and empires. I know it annoys some people, especially when some other annoying people are always shoving various religious holidays down your throat. But be of good cheer if you can manage it. As usual, in our time, a lack of knowledge and lack of imagination shackles the mind and shrinks the heart. The whole northern half of the planet experiences the end of the solar year, whether you're mad at a plastic baby Jesus in somebody's yard or not, you know? Whether or not you've stumbled upon the bizarre notion that a crooked sword made of Christmas lights strung up on a hillside represents, who knows, Luke Skywalker? Winter comes, whether or not. And if we are fortunate, winter will be followed by green springtime once again. And Yuletide is a beautiful way to describe the festivities and good cheer we can enjoy if we want to. And I tell you this, long after the fading, faithless, bad faith, blood-soaked, monotheistic religions are finally forgotten for good, starved and discarded by good old lack of interest, humankind will still be celebrating Yuletide with feast and caroling and the very ancient traditions of keeping the evergreen inside and the Yule log blazing during the coldest, darkest time of the year. The names change, empires fall to ruin, but the road goes on forever and the party never ends. That last part is a Joe Ely line. So next time some religious extremist tells you to put the Christ back in Christmas, you tell them if the Christians had their way, there would not be any Christmas. Here I'm talking specifically about the country where most of us are listening to this program, the USA. The puritanical fanatics who controlled many of the North American colonies, New England we call it now, so hated Christmas trees and presents and Christmas dinner and joy and peace on earth and the children nestled all snug in their beds that they banned Christmas for most of the 17th century and scorned wintertime festivities for another 100 plus years after that, well into the 1800s. And if they'd had their way, you'd be spending Christmas Day at work with everybody else. Because they are the Scrooge people. Named after Scrooge McDuck. And then after you worked all day shoveling coal, you would just cry in the poorhouse or the tent camp. No music, no dancing, no holiday cheer, no presents, no nothing. So it's not all that different than life today for many of us. The War on Christmas crusade all over Northern Europe began with the Protestant era. The idea of people enjoying the holidays made the new Protestants especially violent. Violently insane. They'd attack children singing carols, stab them with pitchforks, throw hot oil on their heads. Happy to kill a child to prevent the singing of a Christmas song. For centuries, this went on, this terrorism. State terrorism. Christmas was illegal, against the law, in England and Scotland through much of the 17th century. From the time Cromwell's theocratic thugs beheaded King Charles I and ransacked thousands of chapels and churches and cathedrals throughout Britain. Their cohorts in terror across the Atlantic would have succeeded in making holidays and festivals illegal across the whole of the colonies. If not for the fact that several large colonies, were run by royalists or royalist sympathizers, and even Catholics in Maryland. But remember that in Massachusetts, Christmas remained illegal until 1681, a time historians call the Age of Reason. But you can't kill Christmas because, as the Puritans were at least smart enough to point out, Christmas is not necessarily Christian. It predates the religion of Christianity by many thousands of years. The pre-contact Aztecs celebrated solstice with music, dances, and athletic games. Egyptians still eat watermelon at solstice, something they've been doing over 5 millennia or so of celebrating the rebirth of Osiris. The many seeds are signs of fertility. The red flesh of the watermelon, a sign of lifeblood. Egypt's great temples at Karnak, along with dozens of other cherished World Heritage sites, including Neolithic Stonehenge and Newgrange, are specifically engineered to highlight winter solstice. Darius I put the Persian solstice celebration of Yalta on the calendar 2,500 years ago, or
eight centuries before the solstice became associated with the birth of Jesus of Galilee at an unknown date, now guesstimated to be around the year 6 BCE in Roman Palestine. Karahan Tepe, the sister site to Anatolia's Göbekli Tepe, now in southeastern Turkey. Well, it's always been in southeastern Turkey. It's just it wasn't called Turkey. Who writes this stuff? It has the oldest known solstice alignment dating back some 12 millennia, or more than 10,000 years before the first Christmas. When the Roman Church chose the symbolic dates of winter solstice for the birth of Jesus and summer solstice for the birth of John the Baptist. Pope Julius I may have made it official, naming December 25 as the Feast of the Nativity in the late 3rd or early 4th century. Why? Competing theories, as usual, when you're looking back 1600 or 1700 years. Sol Invictus, the invincible sun of Roman state religion, was of course a solstice baby. And the endlessly popular festival of Saturnalia, in large part preserved by modern Christian tradition, was a five-day solstice festival that ended on what we now call Christmas Eve.
Christmas is almost here. So, this timely warning. Father's got his own reminder, and a good one, too. Those Christmas presents will have to be posted much earlier if they're to get there in time. After all, you can always write on the label, "Do not open till Christmas Day," to make sure that the Christmas pudding is not attacked on Christmas Eve. Yes, the proof of the greeting is still in the pudding. But this year, owing to war conditions, the postman's job is going to be very, very difficult. There'll be the same enormous avalanche of parcels, but with fewer staff to deal with them, and a whole lot of other complications due to so many people being obliged to change their address, and sometimes more than once. The plucky owner of this house must have had a grand sense of humor. The blackout doesn't make things any brighter either. Collecting letters in a half-light is a big problem, and transportation no less so. And with the blackout period getting longer and longer, delay is unavoidable. As a result, the job of the postman and the sorters isn't an enviable one. Many an address may look all right on an envelope, but it simply isn't there anymore, so the letter has to go into a special pigeonhole until the owner can be traced. But that doesn't stop the postman from trying to deliver the goods, and often he'll turn up at a house with a parcel for yet another tenant who's gone away. Indeed, there wasn't much left to stay for. So the parcel goes back to the post office until the bombed tenant applies for it, or his new address is traced. Remember, just let the post office know your new address immediately on the special free forms provided. And don't forget to tell your friends. Another point is that this Christmas, the post office won't be able to get as many temporary staff as usual, as so many are in the services. The postman has another problem in finding your house in the blackout, just as you sometimes have. Many other difficulties crop up or drop down like this. Somebody said that there's no present like the time and no time like the present. If you should be a little before time, well, so much the better. Just do this. She's not going to be late, for one. She's doing her bit to help the postal authorities do theirs. Follow her good example and post now. But in any case, not later than the 18th of December.
Well, it looks like I did not get my Christmas cards out by December 18th. Maybe next year. The early church fathers loved numerology, including the weird assumption that Jesus was conceived on the same date that he died, which would have put his birth some 9 months after his commonly accepted date of execution. What there's zero doubt about is that nearly everything Americans consider to be Christmas is from prehistoric and ancient Northern European seasonal practices.
The holly, the mistletoe, the evergreen tree, the festival of lights on the longest nights of the year, storytelling around the fire, bonfires and booze, and of course the little baby in a basket. Here's something from a history website which sounds true enough to use on the radio on a holiday weekend when I can't find the actual book. Quote, the use of a baby as a personification of the new year has been traced to ancient Greece, where an infant in a basket was paraded around to mark the annual rebirth of Dionysus, the god of wine and fertility. I like to pronounce it Dionysus. Back to the quote. Sometimes accompanied by Father Time, Baby New Year has appeared in banners, cartoons, and posters for centuries. End quote. Yeah, that's the same baby from the nativity scenes that started appearing in the Middle Ages in the first big Christmas pageants. So why do we have solstice for the new solar year and Christmas for the baby in the basket and the exchange of gifts, and New Year's for the new calendar year and the New Year's baby? Like I said, big government, the deep state, the empire. Julius Caesar's calendar reform, adopted some 2,070 years ago in 45 BCE, was supposedly inspired by a conversation with the Egyptian mathematician who had computed the solar year as 365 and a quarter days in length. This conversation occurred at a banquet hosted by Cleopatra after Caesar settled the dynastic war in her favor. But that's not where the solar year was computed. We strive for some level of accuracy. So the Julian calendar was introduced in Rome the following year with the best Greek astronomers and mathematicians brought in to iron out the details. Every 4 years would be a leap year, and that kept things pretty much on track with the actual years and seasons. But a couple of errors here and there led to what's called calendar drift, because the year is actually less than 365 and a quarter days, a little bit less. 11 minutes or so less. Enough to make trouble in the long run, as in over centuries and millennia. So by the 16th century, another reform was required, and that was the Gregorian calendar under Pope Gregory the 13th. Lucky 13 is a good calendar, the one we still use today. But it took centuries for Western Europe, all of it, and the various European colonies of the Americas to adopt it. Queen Elizabeth, the first one, was all for the new calendar, but her Anglican church bishops were just nuts about it, because they specifically believed that Pope Gregory the 13th was, quote, the fourth great beast of Daniel. And if you're wondering, Daniel who is Daniel Craig? So solstice and New Year's and the Christmas celebration used to be the same thing at the same time. 10 or 11 days of calendar drift separated winter solstice from New Year's Day. And the Gregorian reform stranded Christmas on the old 25th of December, 4 years after the new and current winter solstice day on the 21st. Now you know. Go forth and teach all nations, etc. This is a good red, blue, black, silver track we're hearing. I think this one's from a couple of years ago. I like to pluck some out of the archives because I don't remember them all after 7 or 8 years of doing this. So, celebrate your religion at the winter solstice if you like. It's even okay to make up some third-rate Christmas-style holiday so you can claim it's part of your religion or culture, too. That's the habit that really began in the 20th century in America and spread around the world like a bad TV show. Enjoy your holidays. Enjoy the desert if you're lucky enough to be out here for the holidays. And try not to fight about religion around the holiday feast table. You know, we pay other countries to do that for us. This is Isaacs, and across these Mojave Desert lands, this has been Desert Oracle Radio, broadcasting from Z1077, KCDZ 107.7 FM in the high desert. Did you hear it's Giving Friday right now, or Giving Saturday if you're listening tomorrow on the podcast? Giving to Desert Oracle Radio is the full name of the date. Right here on my Google Gregorian calendar, this advertising-free show is supported by listeners like you, apparently. So thanks to the few and the proud who contribute on our Patreon page. That's patreon.com Desert Oracle. Thanks to Red, Blue, Black, Silver for the soundscapes, and go visit his collection of music on Bandcamp. Red, Blue, Black, Silver, all one word. And that's the color of our Christmas tree, too, here at the Desert Oracle Radio Studios, like every year. Black tree from the fire. Red from the Viking blood sacrifice splashed all over it. Silver from the tinfoil decorations. And blue from the terrible cold. It's very cold in the studio. We can't run the heater because you can hear the fan on the radio. Thanks to everybody for listening this year and every year. And if you look on that Patreon page, we have all the previous Christmas and solstice episodes linked up to the podcast. And if you're listening or streaming on the radio tonight, stay tuned, because after the break, we've got a classic Desert Oracle Radio Christmas episode with our old friend Brendan Mays. Have a good holiday, everybody, and good night from the Voice of the Desert.
We are at the bottom of the hour, and you are listening to Desert Oracle Radio Replay on KGVM 95.9 FM, Bozeman Community Radio. Our second episode today is called A Mojave Solstice, and it was recorded by Ken Lane on December 21st, 2018, and this is the one that he refers to in the first episode. So Brendan Mays makes a visit. Enjoy.
Transmitting from the Mojave Wilderness in Joshua Tree, California, now is the time for Desert Oracle Radio, the voice of the desert.
Night has fallen on the desert and it's prime Mojave road trip time.
So I want to tell you about some places that you can visit over these holiday weeks if you're lucky enough to be around this time of year. There's a map online. You can use it on your computer or your phone or whatever you like. It's at desertoracle.com, the wild and mysterious Mojave map. But I must caution you that cell phone service is not to be expected in the lonelier parts of the desert. Once you're away from the miserable comforts of fast food and 24-hour supercenters, so put your plans down on paper and prepare to be on your own. But before I get to that, I was at the office shipping out holiday mail orders this week, and there was a note left in the mail slot, which is nailed shut, so I don't know how the letter got inside. But now it's here, and this is what it says. Dear Desert Oracle, I wanted to thank you for a great podcast. You're welcome. I've been traveling in the U.S. for 6 months, one of them here in the desert. When I first got here, I found out about your podcast. The only one I know of in which the host doesn't sound way over-optimistic, like he's on coke or something. Your radio show made my stay here. I learned a lot about the desert, and I even followed some of your suggestions. I camped at Mid Hills in Mojave National Preserve, visited Amboy, tried to get a room at the Amargosa Opera House, camped near the Air Force Base. I almost got into 29 Palms Military Base. Google Maps thought the Starbucks there is open to the public. But unfortunately, the Marine at the front gate could not read my military service certificate, which is in Hebrew. Just wanted to drop by and say thank you for the great times. The desert is certainly a good place for me. Yair Landsberg from Israel. Now to our destinations, because time is short for all of us. Llano del Rio Collective, Highway 138 at 172nd Street East in Llano, California. That is in the far western Mojave. On the north side of Pear Blossom Highway stands the century-old stone ruin of the famed Llano Socialist Community. It's been vacated for over a century now, but Frank Black of the Pixies wrote a song about it called Llano del Rio. I learned about it from Mike Davis's great book about Los Angeles, City of Quartz. Little Petroglyph Canyon, China Lake Naval Air Weapons Station, Ridgecrest, California. Deep within the Mojave wilderness of China Lake Naval Air Base is Little Petroglyph Canyon, a stunning collection of the Coso people's rock art. But you can only visit on reservation-only guided tours through the museum in Ridgecrest. And then we have the Kill Bill Church at 19809 East Avenue G in High Vista, California, again in the western Mojave. Extensively remodeled for the 2003 Uma Thurman movie Kill Bill, this former community center has since become a real church and has kept the interior and exterior features made famous from the bloody film. And then off the 15, just outside of Barstow, the First Del Taco. 38434 East Yermo Road in Yermo, California, now known as Tita's Burger Den, but still featuring the original Del Taco's mid-century signage. This humble burrito stand was the beginning of the Mojave's best-known restaurant chain. Morongo Canyon Preserve, 11055 East Drive in Morongo Valley, just off the 62. This 31,000-acre oasis within the new Sand to Snow National Monument provides one of the nicest hikes around Joshua Tree. With tall, shady cottonwoods, flowing water, and hundreds of bird species. Back to our neighborhood, the world-famous Integratron. That is at 2477 Belfield Boulevard in Landers, California. Watch the GPS. It likes to trick you on this one. Built by UFO contactee George Van Tassel as some sort of dimensional travel space machine, this striking white monument now serves neo-hippie tourists who, with advanced reservations, climb up to the dome where they recline on yoga mats and experience a sound bath. Now, headed out on Amboy Road is the Palms Restaurant, 83131 Amboy Road in Wonder Valley. On the lonesome back road to Vegas, or as I call it, the one road to Mojave National Preserve, stands a unique oasis run by the Sibley family, serving tasty burgers and brunch and beers to a weird but friendly mix of dusty locals and bikers and sun-fried travelers. And it's not a trip to Joshua Tree without a trip to Cap Rock at Joshua Tree, the Cap Rock Nature Trail. Country rock pilgrims from around the world pay tribute to Gram Parsons here in Joshua Tree National Park, where the singer-songwriter was more or less cremated after his death at the Joshua Tree Inn. Now, Gram and Keith Richards, who just turned 75 years old this week, happy birthday, Keith. They used to watch for UFOs from a barber's chair that they dragged up to the top of Cap Rock. Now, a funny thing is that the attempted funeral pyre was not actually atop Cap Rock. It was at a lower elevation nearby. Ask the ranger out there to point it out. It's kind of a secret. Now, we got an interesting email from somebody who knows about the desert highways. He's a long-haul truck driver named John Richard Little, or maybe it's John Richard Little, like Captain Picard on Star Trek. Anyway, this is what he had to say. As you may know, not all immigrants went west to California in the famous prairie schooners. One guy pushed a wheelbarrow with his stuff in it, and one woman walked with only her pack cow. I've been reading hundreds of personal accounts from that era as my wife and I have purchased 77 acres of Nevada desert along the Humboldt River, about 40 miles due east of the Black Rock Desert. I found the following passage in the book Fearful Crossing by Harold Coran, published by Nevada Publications in 1982, and quoting from Scenery of the Plains, Mountains, and Mines, or a diary kept upon the overland route to California by way of the Great Salt Lake. Travels in the cities, mines, and agricultural districts, embracing the return by the Pacific Ocean and Central America in the years 1850, 1851, 1852, and 1853, by Franklin Langworthy, J.C. Sprague, bookseller, 1855. At this place, we saw a singular vehicle drawn by two horses and belonged to a man from Milwaukee, who, in company with two men, was traveling with it to California. It was a cart having tires a foot wide and two sets of spokes to each wheel. The bed was an immense tin box made watertight, having a framework upon the inside to strengthen it. The owner was forming a guidebook for the use of future travelers, and within the huge tin box was a roadometer of ingenious construction. When they started, the carriage had six wheels, all of the same construction, and was drawn by six horses. Besides which, there was a curious piece of machinery fixed within the bed for the purpose of propelling this strange locomotive by hand, in case the horses should fail. Now, this time, he had lost four of his horses and had cut down the Ponderosa chariot to a cart for two horses. He had expended near $2,000 to get started in this way and now seemed to be in somewhat reduced circumstances. His horses were now low in the flesh and his cart quite too heavy a load for them to draw. Somewhere along the Humboldt River, 1850. We've got Brendan Mays on the line. We're going to talk about his holiday spectacular. Brendan, welcome to the program.
Hey, Ken. Thanks for having me. Merry Christmas, by the way.
Happy holidays to you. Now,
yeah, the other holidays are pretty good, too. But it's really all really about Christmas when you think about it. And that's what I'm trying to do, Ken. We're trying to bring back Christmas. You know, Christmas has been under assault for a number of years now by the mainstream media, by the left-wing think tank organizations, and they've really been trying to tear down the most beautiful of all gifts, you know, a baby Jesus given to the world. We're going to try to bring it back to the...
Now, Brendan, aren't you a Buddhist?
Ken, I believe in a lot of things, as you know. I guess I'm like a lot of people that way. Part of me is, you know, believes in fantasy and is the eternal optimist and is always looking to make things better for people, you know, for consumers. In terms of spirituality, Ken, whatever fits the situation. If I'm in Iraq or something like that in the Middle East, I'm gonna be really into Islam. I'm gonna really be, you know, drilling down in those verses in the Quran. Islam's it's a great religion. Christianity did occur and did start in the Middle East. And like you mentioned, we had enormous success in the past putting on various pageants and various celebrations of the Christian faith throughout this desert region. We got a lot of good feedback on it. Our Easter extravaganza back in 2017 was a giant hit. Everybody's still saying the wounds and everything, very lifelike. It was reported that stigmata occurred. So we thought with that kind of success, we should keep moving forward. What other Christian holidays are as important as Easter? Well, obviously that's Christmas. So that's what led us to stage this Christmas pageant.
Now, the Christmas pageant was advertised mostly on social media, as far as I've seen. No billboards or anything here in town. So you were expecting some out-of-towners.
We wanted to go a little bit more upscale with this Christmas nativity pageant. The previous Easter extravaganza was highly attended by locals, heavily attended. Well, you know, some things kind of got out of hand. You know, when we had the passion with a lot of local guys, kind of really got into it, and they beat them up pretty good. So we were trying to maybe get this particular pageant, take it up a notch or two, you know, go upmarket with it, upscale. What we actually planned on doing was using special effects. The live birth, I'll tell you how this came about. That wasn't our original intent. Why would you do something like that necessarily? It would take incredible planning, and that would take a lot of work to set something like that up. But it just so happens, talking about synchronicity, the idea, Carl Jungian idea of events happening, synchronized around the world, seeing things that you would think would not have any connection at all occur at the same times and reinforce each other. You got to be there to take advantage of a business opportunity if it presents itself. And so that's what I decided to do in this case. And let me tell you how this came about, this live bird that we're staging. Well, as you know, Mojave Mirage Industries, which is my company, one of Mojave Mirage Industries' ventures is, of course, the Airbnb rental market space, where we've gone around Joshua Tree, 29 Palms, Flamingo Heights, Wonder Valley, snapping up places, snapping up these cute little rustic cabins all over the place, snapping up 1950s, mid-century moderns all over the place and turning them into Airbnb rentals, which is a fantastically lucrative business. I mean, I'm talking margins like 40% on this stuff. Pretty amazing. Now, one of our properties out there in Wonder Valley, we had a tenant, very nice young lady, was a little down on her luck, you know. She was the second wife of some first sergeant out in 29 Palms, you know. The point is, she was sitting out there all by herself, having trouble getting by. And I knew that, and I also knew, at the same time, I needed to make money on this property. And I wanted to convert it to an Airbnb rental, and she was aware of that, and we have a good relationship. So we tried to figure out how the best way we were going to get her out of there. I didn't want to evict her, like I've evicted people before. It's a nasty process. You don't want to evict a pregnant lady. That just looks bad, and it is bad. We came to a business arrangement, signed a contract and everything. It turns out that her due date is right around December 22nd. The winter solstice, I think, is around that time, right up against Christmas. So we thought, she's going to have a baby. We could make this work. What if we had the live birth there at the Christmas pageant and actually recreated the beautiful moment when our Savior came into this world in human flesh? What could be more impressive than that? We had to hire, of course, medical staff. What if we had this live birth attended by actual doctors, totally licensed to practice, totally know what they're doing? You know, not licensed to practice here, but licensed to practice over there, and they know what they're doing. They have babies all over the world, and have it supervised by a doctor and also a traditional midwife, because we thought that would look really good too. So we're having Joseph is being played by a doctor, and he will be attending. He'll be right there. Joseph is right there at the birth. So he'll be attending to the birth. If anything gets out of hand, he's ready to go. Of course, you can never tell when a baby's going to come. You don't know. It might come. They say December 22nd. What if the baby comes December 30th? Christmas is already passed. You missed your golden opportunity. Well, bring the doctor in. It turns out it's not a jelly or whatever. It's an injection. I know what it is. And the doctor comes up, gives her a jab, 30 minutes later, you got yourself a baby. So we thought, hell, why not? Let's set it up. Let's get this baby born at 10 p.m. and ready for the big final show and the big act. Get it about 10 o'clock, have the baby, wipe it down, swaddle it. Then you get the three wise men coming in, bringing frankincense and myrrh and gold. We got a set lighting designer who's coming out. He's going to light the whole thing up. You should see what they can do with LEDs these days. We got people from costume wardrobe.
According to the article, this location is actually on the 29 Palms Marine Corps base, and you don't have the permission to be doing this.
My thinking was, how do I save money? They built this Iraqi city. It's supposed to be just like Mosul or just like one of these cities in Iraq. I wish I could remember the names. Iraqi city, Middle East, Iraq is right next to Bethlehem. So why not use this facility that's just sitting out there? They don't use it all the time. They use it maybe like once every other week was what he was telling me. I got a guy on the inside of base operations who let me know the schedule of their war games and their, you know, I think they call it map planning, or that's when they go through and they do all their training exercises. And he said, right, the week of Christmas, they're not going to be using it because everyone's going to be with their families. Nobody's going to be there. They're not using it. Everybody's gone for the holidays. I could probably just get into the back door, have a little private celebration, invite some big wigs from the Marines so they feel like they've been included, and it should be no big deal. So how I got detained? Well, Ken, they came up on me at full speed in a giant green three or four Humvees in a Suburban, and a bunch of guys jump out and grab you. That's how it happens. Real nice guys, though, actually. They're pretty cool. Once I explained the situation and everything, they handled me not very roughly at all and were very polite. I gotta say, they did a fantastic job of arresting me, and I thank them for it. I thanked each one individually for his or her service. I don't see how anybody could have a problem I don't see how there could be any controversy in helping America's veterans. We've been looking to expand the scope and reach of our charitable organizations, and we realize we don't have the correct 501D or C or 5050, but we're going to get it. So we've been looking at various charitable organizations that do have this nonprofit status. So we thought, heck, maybe we'll partnership with them. They can collect the money and we can disperse it to the veterans. And that's what we've been working on. So I think you're going to see a deal inked by the end of this week. When you're in a situation, there's six tough, angry dudes looking at you like you're the biggest POS in the world, and are you a terrorist? I mean, they got their guns drawn on you. When you got an M16 pointed in your face, you'll say anything. You know what I'm saying? You'll say anything to defuse the situation. So maybe I did say that, say something like that. Yeah, I'm a veteran, and I'm helping out veterans, and you guys should, you know, maybe perhaps show me a little bit more respect, you know, Semper Fi and all that. Maybe I said a few things that I shouldn't have. Misinforming people, I mean, that's just part of human nature. And that's marketing and advertising, for God's sake. It's a huge sector of our economy. You can't expect people to be telling the truth when you point a gun in their face. I mean, what's that saying? Where they say, yeah, you know, you can get a suspect to sing, but what if he starts to compose? That's the real danger there. So I was trying to diffuse the situation, and that's what you do. By telling a couple of jokes, by misleading people, by, you know, diffusing the tension, and that's all I was trying to do. Since this is a big bit of stagecraft, I think I'm going to go out there and break a leg and just get the dang thing done. Nothing's going to stop us, Ken. Nothing stopped Jesus. We're going to have this pageant come hell or high water, and hopefully neither of the two. With all the trouble I was having with San Bernardino County, all these problems has kind of made me, I guess I'm a grating person to these people, and so I knew I couldn't pull any more favors out of the county or the state. And we noticed that coming up for auction was a horse property in Monument Manor, right next to Quail Springs Road, with running water and full stables in the back. The only people living there was an old couple in their 80s who had to move to a retirement home, and they couldn't afford the property taxes, hadn't paid them in years. And in the back stable, we had a couple of people living back there who had just had a baby, you know, back there in the stalls. They converted it. They brought in an extension cord, and they had, you know, a tub of water. We knew after seeing that young couple and that baby there, I thought, heck, this would be the perfect place to stage the birth right here. I mean, it's kind of happening before my eyes in a way. So we got the property. Of course, we paid next to nothing for it. We got it at auction. Started fixing it up. We're fixing up the stables right now. We're going to clean them out. You know, unfortunately, we had to get rid of the young couple who were there with their baby because, well, you know, we have to stage this pageant. So, unfortunately, they had to find a different place to live. And I tried to help them, but they don't really have any money. Ken, I just like to say, we're going to be putting this pageant on a live birth Christmas. I'd like to invite all your listeners to come on down. It's going to be up there, right off Quail Springs Road. You'll be able to see the signs. There's going to be guys out there taking your cars and parking them somewhere. We're going to have an incredible spread. Every single delicious thing you can think of, we're going to have there. It's all very traditional Middle East, so there's going to be maybe some flavors you're not used to. We're going to have, you know, roast beef, and you're going to have anything you want, your heart's desire. That food's going to be there. It's going to be great. Everybody dressed in traditional clothing. There's going to be outdoor heaters in case it gets a little bit cold. No one's going to get cold, and we're going to have a beautiful scene. There's going to be a raffle. The winner of the raffle will have all expenses paid tour to the actual Bethlehem, which, of course, as we know, was over there in the Middle East. We're going to send them over there, and they're going to be able to see, I guess there's a church there, Church of the Nativity or something, right where the spot where Jesus was born, the real Jesus. Second place is a year-long contract, totally free septic system treatment and maintenance. So if you got a septic system, you got any problems with your leach field, you got any problems with backup, need to get a pump, that's all going to be taken care of for you, Ken. And that's like about a $2,000, $3,000 values. I forget what third prize is, or it's probably some coupons for local eateries or something like that.
Ha ha ha!
has been a lovely holiday season so far up here in the high desert. We've had some rain, we've got snow on San Gorgonio, and everybody was getting ready for the holiday crowds, the couple of 100,000 people expected to visit the Mojave's national parks and national monuments over the winter holidays. And instead, we have all spent the day trying to figure out what level of deliberate federal chaos will be set off tonight by... what's his name? Dangerous old moron. Well, I hope if you're visiting that it all works out. But here in the former United States, it's sort of hard to say hour by hour, minute by minute. And if you're on the payroll at the National Park Service or the Interior Department or aboard the Marine Base or at the airports at the busiest time of year, thanks for trying to keep people safe while some Adderall-addled ogre cuts off your paycheck for sport. Merry Christmas. 2 days after Christmas, that's Thursday the 27th of December, I will return to the Palm Springs Ace Hotel for our Desert Oracle Campfire Stories. There at the fire from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. telling tales of the desert, of monstrosities both human and supernatural, of flora and fauna, of strange history, and etc. And then one more time, Thursday, January 31st, and that's it for a while. Free for all to attend, and there's a camp bar set up if you want a beverage. You've been listening to Desert Oracle Radio, broadcasting from Joshua Tree, Fridays at 10 p.m. across the Mojave on KCDZ 107.7 FM from Amboy to Zizek's. Thanks, as always, to Red, Blue, Black, Silver for the musical soundscapes he composes, especially for this program. I'm your host, Ken Lane. Happy solstice, I hope, and good night from the Voice of the Desert.
Okay, that's all we got for you. Keep enjoying your holiday. Bye. Sweet dreams. Stay well. Bye. Well, my thanks to Ken Lane for his episodes for this show. And my thanks to my little granddaughter, Gemma, who has opened and closed the show with her greetings. Enjoy the cold moon, the full moon that's coming up on December 26th. Which is Tuesday. Enjoy the holidays. And Jack Johnson is taking us out with his song In the Morning from A Brush Fire Holiday Volume 2. This Warm December is the name of the album. Thank you. Even better when they wake up tomorrow.
Much love in the little missing tea. Gonna miss you till we meet again in the morning. So much peace in their pitter-patter feet. Any open eyes can see their minds are reaching. So much joy, I'm afraid to be swept away. Upstream there's a spring that brings in the new day. These are the gifts we keep. And this is the morning that we breathe. And then we see. These moments are the only gifts we need. Mark a P, a P, a
you stare, smiling down from the top of the stairs. You're so sweet. And your robot pictures spread around. I swear your feet don't touch the ground. Once it starts, it don't slow down, but I don't want it to. And these are the gifts we keep.